Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
I got a ridiculous party recap.
Well, let's do that. Okay. All right.
Go ahead, go ahead and hit the intro.
Yeah. So I'll hit the intro. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy. I'm Janet Valentine.
And I'm Roger Johnson.
And I'm Barbie Triple E. Don't ask me about that.
Oh, don't. You know that makes us want to ask
verified.
You about it.
It is verified.
So Mandingo may or may not join us. He had said he was going to, but, you know, typical Mandingo. We love him because he's the producer of this whole fiasco. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, we are three lifestylers. One is fully retired, one is semi-retired, and one is very active. And you can figure out which one those are as we progress. And if you're, this is your first episode, welcome. If you're returning, great. Please know that even though the episodes sometimes are ordered, you don't have to listen to these in any order. It's like opening up a good book in the middle of it and just reading something in a chapter. We may want to reference something, and you may want to hear something in the past. But so moving forward, let's start with the discussion. We've had a couple of episodes where we've discussed Halloween parties. So, Roger, I know you attended one this weekend. So, how was it?
I attended it less than 12 hours ago, actually. And I'm dragging, and I probably sound off, but it was all self-induced.
All right.
So, I mean, I will start by just saying, I said it when we opened this subject, that it is the one time a year to clear your calendar and go. And I'll iterate it and reiterate it, because I stand by it. I had a doctor costume. That's what I ended up with. I had the loincloth in my hand, and I was just like, I'll probably run up to that store actually today, because they're still open, and see if I can grab it on clearance. But anyway, I walked by the doctor costume. I'm like, that's it. That's the
okay.
One. I'm going to be a doctor from Goodlay Medical Center.
For those of you just joining us the first time, Barbie has said one of the easiest costumes for a man to do is to have a loincloth, be all the rest naked, and be holding a big, huge potato, so that you can be, what are you, Barbie?
A dictator.
A dictator.
That's right.
Dee went dressed up as a boy. Because a friend of ours was coming as a priest, and her intention was to stand by him throughout the night and just randomly say, "Stop trying to touch my butthole."
Well, that's funny right there.
So she went as a boy. He did come show up as a priest. I think she got a little too high and kind of forgot what the plan was. It's neither here nor there. Let's see. Yeah, she got distracted, but he was going around and he said he had named his dick Forgiveness.
Oh.
So, so if you were seeking forgiveness,
that's great.
That's beautiful. That's great. That's great. Beautiful.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
There were actually two priests, and there was a lady. Actually, the guy I'm talking about dressed up as a priest. I've referred to him. He's also a Roger. But anyway, his wife was a devil, and we were going to try to get the two priests to spit roast the devil.
Yeah,
that'd be a good one.
Pictures aren't allowed, and if there was ever a Kodak moment at a party, that would have been it.
But you would have put on masks on everybody and say, okay, mask, let's take a picture.
Everybody ended up out of their costumes anyway, which was kind of the whole point. But that was hilarious. A friend of mine, Dana, she brought a strap on and used it on a girl for the first time. And you know, and we're hanging out in the kitchen later on. She's like, Roger. And I did her with a strap on. And I'm a guy now. And you know me, you know my personality. That triggered me from that moment forward. I just rattled about 10 jokes. I'm just like, oh, cool. You're like one of us. She's like, yeah, I'm one of you. Do you prefer Skull or Copenhagen? I'm like, what's next? Are you going to get your hair cut short and buy a flannel shirt and go get your CDL? I mean, what kind of dude are you going to be? Are you going to come home tomorrow from work and smack your husband and tell him shut up and bring you a beer? I mean, where does this go?
Are you going to refuse to ask for directions or refuse to use the GPS?
Exactly.
Are you going to buy a bookshelf and not read the instructions and start cussing after 2 hours that you haven't got it put together?
What kind of guy are you going to be? That's right.
What kind of guy?
Now that you bought a strap on, that is
exactly where this went.
Are you going to pee standing up and not pull the toilet seat up?
Yeah, I'm going to start leaving it up.
Oh my God. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, goodness.
On
a sidebar, though, you know, those strap-ons, they are definitely only a Kodak moment. I'm sorry.
Right.
We've had that conversation.
We can bring it back up for anybody who wasn't listening, whichever episode that was. Maybe it was sex toys or whatever. Thinking,
as a woman, I'm going to put this thing on and it's going to give me anything more than a visual. Think again. But that's my opinion.
She had... one last joke was, okay, so you had her bent over and you're hitting her with the strap on. Did you take your thumb and kind of pop it in her butthole like a bowling ball? I was like, did you do that? Are you? I mean, that's a dude move. If you want to be a dude, that's what we do. But
I'll bet she was floored. Like, oh,
she couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah,
I think she said that knowing that I was just going to start rattling off a bunch of dumb shit. Her apparatus also put a dildo or vibrator in her. So yeah, she,
I had one of those too.
Yep. She was said she got something off of it. Let's see. As for me, I mean, you know, I've talked about every once in a while, the stars align, you roll it in, you're firing on all cylinders. Between five women, I came three times.
Oh, yay!
And I mean,
congrats.
Yeah, as you get older and older, those are fewer and fewer.
Oh yeah. Hey, that's a
like I said, firing on all cylinders. So
that was an accomplishment, really.
So I'm in bed still with a dopamine hangover and and headache.
You need a nap this afternoon.
I'm taking a nap. That was my night. How about
so
you
guys don't have sore pussy Sunday because we have sore pussy. So if I do five or six guys, that's one of the things I like about having my nipples pinched in the middle of sex, because if they do it and I come and they pinch really hard, the next day my nipples tingle all day, reminding me of how hard I was fucked the day before. So sore pussy Sunday for me is, yeah, you've got to sit in a Epsom salts bath if you can. You've got to soak it because you've kind of abused it, and it's sore pussy Sunday. You don't have a sore dick Sunday, do you?
No, I sit around, you know, nasally hitting some Flonase and kind of dragging ass and doing everything I can to get to bed early that next night.
No, wait a minute. The Flonase doesn't have anything to do with
just being nasally and congested.
Okay. I didn't know for sure what was going on with this Flonase.
No.
If it helps somehow in the recovery process of that part of your body.
God, I wish. No, it just so I'm not walking around. So I'm not walking around sniffing all day like a daycare.
What would the product be called? It would be called Donase.
Yeah, but Flonase would have helped me none on sore pussy Sunday. Zero. You could add all the Flonase in the world. Would not have helped at all.
Oh, that's so funny. Flonase? No, I never thought of trying that. I tried it. It didn't do shit.
So
ice pack.
That actually wraps me into, it's a good segue into a Big Dick Donnie story. Do you want to hear a Big Dick Donnie story?
Always.
Anybody listening, just before you started the story, for anybody listening, this guy was, just my impression, I haven't talked a lot about him, and just my interactions with him, he was the most outgoing, just welcoming, and just an absolute character.
An asshole until something weird happens, like when he's on his steroids too much or whatever. Okay, so, but like in other podcasts I've described him, he's been a swinger since he's 18 years old. I mean, forever, all of his life. And like the dude is now in his 70s and in total denial, but so he's just consistently still swinging. Okay. And like he says, instead of saying, like, there was one time when we were at a party and there was a younger girl that was there, and he was doing her, and he was banging on the gong up above, and he was eating a carrot, and he yelled down, and he's like, "Hey, Janet." And then he's like, "Who's your granddaddy? Who's your granddaddy?" The girl. It was saying it not as a cocky asshole, but as a joy.
Oh, no.
The joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's a happy guy.
Right. But this guy, he's called Big Dick Donnie for those new people, new flies on the wall. You guys, he's called Big Dick Donnie because he does have one of the biggest dicks I've ever seen on a white guy. I mean, very close to like John Holmes type stuff. He does. He has a very, like, people get scared of his dick. And that's actually part of the story. So Big Dick Donnie, he is defined by being a swinger and in the lifestyle. And he will make no bones about telling anybody about it. He'll talk to you in a grocery store and invite you to a party. Sometimes this has caused problems, and we've had to set down some rules that he will try to bend, and then sometimes he'll break but anyway when I first met Big Dick Donnie a long time ago, I was at I was on husband number one, and we're at a lifestyle weekend party. It was a weekend party, Tracy. If you listen to the episode, whoops, that's the episode where I almost go to the wrong house, type one. That's Tracy. Okay, my friend Tracy.
Such a great story.
That is a great one.
Right, Tracy, she has a three-story house. It's out in the country, and it's huge. And someone in the lifestyle had been diagnosed with cancer and needed money. And so Tracy threw a three-day fuck and suck camp out party in her honor. Okay. And I think her name was Diane. Okay. So for Diane, we'll say. And so this was the first time my husband and I had ever gone to a house party that we'd been invited to. Okay. And so Tracy said, yeah, everybody's out camping out on the lawn, but you can stay inside. You can have one of my rooms.
We should try one of those parties you were talking about. Ooh, there's one next weekend. Your first party you walk into, a 3-day fuck fest.
That was it.
Anyway, go ahead.
At that time with my partner, I was like, oh my God, 3 days? This is going to be awesome. My partner was not so, he was not so happy. He was definitely challenged by it. So we walk in and we are, first night was fucking around and some other stuff. And so it was great. On Saturday morning, up pulls in this yellow convertible Mustang, up pulls Big Dick Donnie. Big Dick Donnie pulls up with his wife, Carrie, and they get out, and everybody is all, you know, they're all around him. They're like, oh gosh, Big Dick Donnie's here. And I'm just like, as soon as I hear Big Dick Donnie, I was like, all right, I got to meet this guy. And as soon as I say that, my husband at the time, who was all of rules, was like, you're not fucking that guy. You know, it's immediately, you're not fucking that guy, because his moniker is Big Dick Donnie, and my first husband had dick issues, okay? So he was very jealous. So needless to say, I did fuck him during the weekend, because like I said, I broke rules all the time. I just got yelled at all the way home, so whatever. I just broke rules. I fucked him, and it was a lot of fun. He's very good with this dick. He knows what he's doing. So Sunday morning, when everybody had been fucking all weekend long, that was the first time that I'd ever been fucking somebody and have a woman come up and stick her fingers in and join us. That was, you know, that was very fun. That was also that weekend. So Big Dick Donnie we're sitting down at the breakfast bar having breakfast, and he tells the story. He says, they live out at the lake, and he's always hunting on C4P and on SLS for new couples. And so a new couple shows up, and so he starts texting with the guy, and they get it all set up that they're going to, they go out to dinner with this couple, and then they go back to this couple's house. The couple's house is probably 10 to 15 minutes away from where Big Dick Donnie and Carrie live. And so they go over to the house, they go inside, and Carrie and the guy are in the living room, and the woman says, let's go into the bedroom. And so she goes into the bedroom. Now, you got to understand, when Donnie introduces himself, he does not introduce himself as Big Dick Donnie. Okay. we call him that. Okay. But he does not. So he's just Donnie at this point. And I can just imagine this poor woman. He goes into the bedroom and he starts to take off her clothes. And then he takes his clothes off and she sees the size of his dick. And she goes, you're not touching me with that without some lube. And she goes, he goes, you got lube? Of course you've got lube. And she goes, yeah, there's some lube in the cabinet in there. So he goes into the bathroom, opens up the cabinet and grabs a tube, comes out, lathers himself up with it, and then starts to fuck her. Okay. And he's like going to have town. And you understand when Big Dick Daddy fucks, he's got these grunts and he's like, I can just imagine it. He's like, oh, and he's going to town. And then all of a sudden, he can't feel his dick. Okay. He can't feel it. It's going in and out, but he can't feel it. And he's like, what the hell is going on? And so he pulls out and he's just like, because of his psyche, he can't feel his dick. He goes limp. And so she turns around and she's like, what's wrong with you? And he doesn't say another word to her. He just walks out and he grabs Carrie, who's in mid-fuck, and he says, we're leaving. Okay. Now he's panicking because you got to understand his dick is his life. Okay. This is what he is defined by. And all of a sudden he can't feel his dick. Okay.
There's a side of me that understands his emotion. Go ahead.
So they get in the car, and here's the best part. When they're telling the story, Carrie's telling it with him too. So they have this little routine where they tell the story. So, you know, if I was still talking to Big Dick Donnie, we'd get him on to tell the story himself. Sorry, I have to relay it. So they jump in the yellow convertible. They start to drive back to the house, and she's like, what is wrong with you? And he goes, I can't feel my dick. And he stops the car. And he stops the car along the side, and he gets out of the car, and he goes to the back of the car, and he whips out his dick, and he starts thumping the bumper of the car, trying to thump back in life into his dick.
Trying to see if he could feel it.
Come on, little fella.
Feel it. And he said, he's talking to it and everything, and he's going, he said, and I'm not a religious man, he goes, but I looked up and said to God, please God, if you get me my feeling back, he goes, I will go to church every Sunday. Okay. I will go to church and I will donate and all this other, and he's making promises to God to make his dick start feeling again. Can't get it to feel. You know, so we're all laughing because we cannot imagine him. You know, we can all imagine him. Yes, we can imagine him on the side of the road with the yellow Mustang, with his big dick out, beating the back bumper. We can all see it in our minds because that's the type of guy that he is. So Teddy, he jumps back in the car, and Sherry is laughing. And she's it's like, stop laughing. It's not funny. And she's like, I don't know what's going on, but it's pretty funny. You're back there. Okay. Now, and see, this is the other thing about Big Dick Donnie really loves Sherry, so she's the only one that can really laugh at him. If it was me or any of us that we were all laughing at him, oh my gosh, we wouldn't hear from him for months out of embarrassment. But Sherry's the only one that can laugh at him. She's like, whatever it is, it's gonna go away. So they get back to their house, they wake up. Sherry says that he wakes up in the middle of the night and he fucks her. He's like, my feeling is back. Okay.
I'm back.
He gets up in the morning and he fucks her again. He goes, I just wanted to show you that it works again. And so they get a note from this other couple that says, you know, we'd like to meet again and try again. And Sherry's like, I'm not going to do this again. And he's like, we're going over there. He goes, we are really going over there right now. I'm going to figure out what's up. And so they get invited over to their house for the next week. And Sherry tells the story. She says, we drive over to the house and she goes, Big Dick Donnie walks in and he doesn't kiss him, say hi, whatever. He walks in, runs straight to the bathroom and starts going through the medicine cabinet saying, I want to see what it is that I put on my dick. And he finds the tube and he turns it over and it says analyze. He slathered his dick in analyze. And if you haven't ever played with analyze, what it basically is like
lidocaine.
Yep.
Lidocaine. And so
numbing cream.
So that was why he made it go numb.
Well, it probably looks like lube, you know.
It probably served some kind of lubricating.
Right.
You know.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes. Right. The day my dick died.
Oh, Well, and I got this. I was looking it up. Let's see. I had gotten this. And I think I sent it to you guys. I got. I sent it to Roger. And it says it's the top five reasons why trick or treating is better than sex.
That was so great.
And the first one, so number five is you are guaranteed to get at least a little something in this in this bag. Okay. And then it says that's number four. If you get tired, you can wait 10 minutes and do it again. Okay. Now, number three is the uglier you look, the easier it is to get some. Okay. And number two is one. If you don't like it, like what you get, you just go next door. And then number one is you can do the whole neighborhood. Okay. And the only thing I sent this to you because I was like, wait, but if, for lifestylers, number two and number one, okay, that totally rings true. If you don't like what you can get, you can just go next door. Swingers, we can do that. So guess what? That's our right. sex, swinger sex is as good as trick-or-treating, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And then you can do the whole neighborhood if you're in that.
If you want to.
Right. If you want to go ahead, go up and down. And, you know, there are some places that are all lifestyle neighborhoods and then you could go up and down. Or if you happen to be like Fabio and I jumped in on that, you know, 55 silver couples that were in there. We were hopping from one cabin to the next cabin to the next cabin. That was totally like trick or treating. Each cabin had themes. Yeah, I forgot to tell you. Each cabin had different themes that you were moving into. And as a guest, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's great. And you know what? They also have lifestyle cruises and stuff like
that. Yeah, they do.
Could you imagine?
They do.
You know? It'd be wild now. Wild.
I know that Big Dig Donnie and Sherry go on them. I know that other people go on them. And again, I know you guys, I'm just going to get the reputation of being the princess in a pea. A cruise is also not my thing.
Oh,
my gosh. Here we go.
Me either.
I'm not going to do it. You guys will think I'm such a diva, but it's like, you know, I'm
sorry. I'm not a cruise person.
For everyone listening. Why?
It's because
too many people.
Too many people. Ew. too confined of a cabin. No place to go in case of something. You know, you see these horror stories of these cruises that get stuck out in the sea, and they've got, you know, COVID for a while was there. Was those some of those people that were on COVID that were on it, stuck on it for 4 months or whatever? It's just. So I can be in a cabin and be seasick for a couple. Now I used to be a Girl Scout Mariner sailor. I like the water. Okay. But I don't like the water in a big tin full of 500 people. Okay.
Oh, 500. Oh, talk whatever. About like 2,500. 4,000.
Right.
And then it'd be like, you're all in the same area. Ooh.
Right. And the whole thing is for me that if it's a swinging cruise, can you imagine the laundry that they have to do?
Oh, you know, I mean, I can't even.
Right. No. Do you then have to, you know, like, because on other episodes, Steve has talked about house parties and how they went through 90 towels. You're limited on it. So that's where I am. But I don't want to be that. You know, I understand it's other people's thing. And if you want to go on a cruise, there are people that have plenty of them out there that do it and have a great time.
I could see myself like going to Jamaica or something to an all-inclusive that was lifestyle. Well,
Hedo is down there and people go to Hedo and Hedo 2. And I can see that. That's my speed.
Yeah,
that's my speed because you know I can go and get more towels, I can go and get more sheets or whatever, and
that's right.
I can walk around and walk on the beach.
And somebody else is doing the cooking and the drinks. Right, I'm good with that. Yeah, me too.
Yes,
that's roughing it.
That's roughing it for me. I am a princess sometimes. And now a word from our sponsor.
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of six or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit beyondmonogamypodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
I am. Sure.
Oh, that cruise can't is just not some people's things, and it's. I get it that it's the cruise part. It's not that you wouldn't want to go on a lifestyle cruise. It's not any cruise,
right?
On any boat. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's just not just like camping. I'm not a camper. I'm not a cruiser. My first husband used to tell me all the time that when we were going to retire, we were going to buy an RV, sell whatever house we own, buy an RV, and just visit our kids. That's also not my speed. Okay. No. And so, I mean, that was my version. That was my version of hell. So that's not for me. No, if you want to fly in somewhere and put me up at a hotel so we can go visit the kids, I'm all in. Okay. But I am not one of these, let's compact my whole life into an RV and drive around. And I think it's because when I was little, I grew up with five brothers and sisters. And that was my mom and dad's idea of a vacation, was slap on a pull-along, pop-along trailer behind the we're talking like Chevy Chase vacation, okay, behind the long station wagon and camping, or, that pop-up thing was considered our vacation. In my adulthood, as I've made more money, I go, mm-mm. Not for me. No. And part of me did not want to be confined with my first husband in the RV. Now, Fabio, I could be confined with him, but one of the reasons why we fit so well, Fabio is my second husband. I'm getting used to calling him Fabio. He's on the same speed as I am. You know, he is on the, so like when we go to Paris, it is an Airbnb that we stay in, or it's a hotel. It doesn't have to be a Four Seasons or W Hotel or whatever, lots of it. I just got to have someplace decent to lay my head, and then going around to the clubs there, you know? Yeah.
So I could go either way.
I want it to be clean, and I want a flush toilet at my convenience. Yep.
I can appreciate a nice room, nice hotel, nice Airbnb. I can also be ultra cheap and just be like, let's do a hostel.
No. Right now, I'm at a point where I can afford not to do a hostel.
I don't even like to fly economy, so...
I'll fly economy all day. I could handle that. I got it.
I've been spoiled, and
I've learned. So we will do cheap tickets, and we will do layovers and stuff like that, and fly economy. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Give me some movies or a book, and I'm.
Oh no, I don't want to sit by a stranger. No, you. No. Business all the way. I want two people. That's it. Me and you. And I want access to the special bathroom.
Lately, when I've been, and I don't want to get into this minutia because it's going to be pretty boring for everybody else who's listening. Yeah, when I've been flying, these planes have the 232 setup, you know, or the 242 setup. We always get the two on one side or the other. We will pay the extra $100 to get a bulkhead so that we have leg room in the front, you know, whatever. But cruises, yes. And then Naughty in New Orleans, that's my speed because that's hotels. They take over two hotels in New Orleans on Naughty in New Orleans. It's usually
the reason that you're like, why would those hotels let these swingers come in and do that and have these, and they're nice hotels. Why would they let them do that and have all this? Because number one, it's a couple thousand swingers that descend upon it. I don't know what the actual numbers are. And number two, so they do it in the hottest week in August, typically. Okay. Because they can't sell those otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's their slow season for New Orleans, right? So typically Naughty in New Orleans is hosted like the second or third week in August. That's the best time that they can take over the hotel. And the hotel will allow them to take over the pool and stuff and do that.
Well, you know, if you've spent much time in New Orleans, there's a lot of times Bourbon Street looked just like a swingers convention.
Exactly.
I thought if you're going to party yourself to death, that's right. The place to go, because it just all the time.
It's a lot less expensive than Vegas. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. If you want debauchery, yes. Go in.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of liked it. Go figure.
Anyway, so those are the so I sent you guys vocabulary list because I think we're gonna quiz at some point, if we could ever get them on, Mandingo, about these words. And I sent you a list, and I think what we should do is like march down through the list and throw out like the first 5 or 10 and see if each of us can define what those are, and our definitions are the same, and then we'll turn around and ask Mandingo what he thinks of them. So Roger, you said you had the list in front of you, is that right?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay.
I do, and I already know I'm going to fail numerous times.
Okay, well then, so anyway, come on Barbie, just read out one of the first 5.
Well, we've talked already about Eiffel Tower, London Bridge, so I'm going to skip over those. But prison pocket? Is that
your ass? That's a Roger term. That's a Roger term.
Is that your ass? Is
that your ass? Yeah. Okay. Where else are you going to have a pocket in prison?
Well, okay.
you're thinking the right direction.
And then painting party. Now, we've had a real one. We've had a legit painting party.
And we have not told the story about the paint. He said, paint some art. I think that's what you said. We should go back to the tape and look at it, Roger. So I think prison pocket and paint art, make some art was in the same, almost in the same episode. Okay. Prison pocket was when we were discussing the fact that,
where are you going to carry a condom?
Right. Where are you going to carry a condom? My boo. The fact that he was fast, the woman who said, you can't do me without a condom, and Roger goes walking out of the room, and Urkel takes his sock off and puts the condom on. And that was when the term prison pocket came out, because that's like, Roger turns to him and says, where did you have that, in your prison pocket?
Got it. That's bad. Okay. All right. But that isn't a term. Well, I guess. Yeah, that
making
might be
some art, painting some art was when we were discussing who is it who's responsible for birth control and what happens when you're shooting live bullets, and that the woman who comes to the party and doesn't tell you that she is fertile, you know, when Roger's like, well, all I would do is pull it out and paint some art. You do all bring right. up another. We do need to tell the painting party story. So we'll save that one, because that one's going to take a little bit longer than what we have. We'll save that one for the next time where we can explain.
Let's do. Yeah, that's a good
Roger,
one.
Roger, were you at the art party that we had at the lake?
Well, we had several.
No.
All right. Well, then I'll have to. We will have to tell you that story.
Okay.
The first one was at the Saturday afternoon party.
Yeah,
at the apartment.
The first one was when it was my first husband. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway.
All right.
We can say that
to the painting part.
Yeah. Yes.
Grocery. Okay. We know what grocery list sex is.
Grocery list sex. So tell me what you know. What is grocery list sex?
Well, It's bad when you're getting laid and you're starting to think about the things you got to do. You know, I gotta go to the store. I need to get some eggs.
Or, I need milk. I need creamer for the coffee.
One of my favorite ones. One time I looked up and I was like, oh God, this has been a while. I thought, no, but my shoes look really nice. My legs were in the air. I was like, I really do like these shoes.
Do you know that, like, ladies, are you, our heads, you know, wander. You guys are fucking and you're all in this. And our heads,
like, come on, let's go. You know, let's get her done. Well, because most of the time, to be honest, most of the time, I mean, the guys aren't playing with your clit. You know, they're in their zone.
Right.
Trying to get off, which is totally different sometimes than the way we would get off. But, you know, hey. So if it goes on for too long or it's just doesn't have that rhythm, you know when it's good, because when you got that rhythm, there is no grocery store list of any kind.
You are transported, you know. Uh-huh. And like I said, I have been in the middle of grocery list sex. I have been taken out of it into the world of wreck my world. Okay. Yeah. Into the, okay, you're going to get an orgasm. Right. Yeah. So something in my brain clicks, something gets done, something, you suck a finger, you suck a toe.
You do
mortician kisses up my, you know, arm to like really, really compliment the fact that your dick is in the pussy. You know, something happens, that some right move happens that knocks you out of grocery list sex into the realm of that high. I explain it, I don't, there are a lot of vices that I don't have for a reason. One of them is alcohol. My father was an alcoholic, and so I'm so scared of being an alcoholic, and I don't like losing control. So alcohol and drugs for me are not a thing, because my brother was a druggie, my father was an alcoholic, so it's not it. I love food, big time food. Okay, the problem is when you eat a lot of food, you get fat, and that's not good for you. Okay, but sex, this thing here, that high that you get, that adrenaline high, once you've reached it, once you've figured out how to get it with yourself, and then in the middle of this, even grocery list sex is good, but when it really reverts you into the world of that high, that's just, it's no calories. Right? There's no colors. There's no, what are the consequences of this? This is, I can be a sex addict. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Right? I could be a sex addict. That's why we were talking about the occupations that people have that are in the lifestyle you tend to see. These are people who need that high. And yeah. People will be saying, you know, I remember watching on TV we can't have sex because I have a headache. No, if I have a headache, I want to have sex. Come and fuck me, okay? And do it right, because that, get that pain out of my head. And one of the best ways to get the pain out of my head is get the blood flowing throughout my body and then get it tingling in all the right places and then get me to the orgasm. And afterwards, the headache is gone.
Okay. And the big old nap.
The nap, like today, like Roger has today, which mm-hmm. is, I just want to nap all day, because you know why? Because I came three times last night.
That's right.
And what is the cost? What are the consequences here? D's fine with it. You know, you
are
not
hurting yourself or anybody else, and that's right. It's just recreational, just like everything else. You know, some people golf. We just happen to play sex.
That's right. You know, last night was just all about self-care.
Yes. And everybody there is in it for the same reason. You know, I mean,
yep, 100%.
Everybody's there to have a good time. And you're right. Boy, when you get in the zone, and that's the only thing I can call it, because you get that rhythm and you both are in that same rhythm. Oh, Lord. Yes.
And it's an
escape from...
Exactly what you were getting ready to say. Just disconnected from everything through the week. Just disconnected. 100%.
Yep, right.
Yep.
So I think we just need to keep the list of words coming so that we can review them for anybody who's missed some episodes or whatever and continue, and then ask Mandingo some of them. But grocery list sex, Yeah, it is what it is. Is there any, what's the next one?
Broomstick guy. What the heck is broomstick guy?
That's my term. Dick?
That's a pencil
dick? Pencil dick is different than broomstick guy.
Okay.
Do you remember, Roger, what a broomstick guy is?
No, this would have, I had a question on this one too.
Broomstick guy is when the guy's belly is so big that you have to take a broomstick and hold it below it to pull the belly up to get to the dick. That's a broomstick.
I remember the conversation. I just didn't remember the terminology.
To me, that's a I will be going somewhere with Fabio or whatever, and we'll be at a party, and he'll go, so are there any broomstick guys here? They're hard because, like, I was at a party, not really a party. It was like a small party. There was a group of, it was probably a rule of six situation, or eight people were there. There was a couple of couples. We met at this guy's house. One of the couples, the guy had to be over 400 pounds. I ended up with him because everybody's like they choose and whatever. And when you're the new couple there, you get, the other ladies know it. And the other ladies are going to give you the guy that's not good. Okay. I got the guy that's not good. I really don't want to be that person that is the offensive person that is, you're too fat. You know, I don't want to be the fat shamer because I've got plenty of guys that have extra poundage on them that fit me very well. Okay. I love those guys. This dude was beyond a broomstick. He was a double. He was a 2x4 guy. Okay. Cause he had such a big belly, and that when, so he's trying to do me, he was trying to fuck me, and his belly got in the way. It could not reach. His dick could not reach. The only way I would have to be manipulated around in some missionary position and have somebody else help me get fit into it. And that was not happening. So he's like, okay, if we can't fuck, I'll just blow you. Well, blowing him, he was like, I want to eat you. He tried to do a 69. Well, that's almost impossible. Because you're going to die. Your pussy over his head. His head is there. And then you have this mountain that you're supposed to. It was like laying on a whale. Okay. So here's the thing is, I totally, maybe I'm the MacGyver of sex, because what I did is I reached for, back then I didn't know about coconut oil, so I had lube. I grabbed some lube and I took my hand and reached down and I grabbed his dick and I just jerked off his dick. Now, I don't know if he thought that I was sucking on it or what, but I kind of manipulated around the belly and did it so that he came and we were done. And afterwards, when we were, this was with, thank God it was with Fabio and not with my first husband, because my first husband would have been yelling at me for not being successful. Fabio was like, you were pretty creative.
MacGyver of sex. She brings her own duct tape. You never know.
Oh, duct tape I would so put on Jared's mouth, the guy that was really hot that I just want him to shut up. Okay, I'll fuck you, but let me put this duct tape on you first. I could have duct tape with me.
That's a good one. Sweet tea moment. I think I've got it.
I wondered what that was too.
I think I know, but
If Steve was here, he would tell you, this is a story with Steve and I. This is with L. Steve and I were doing a DP, okay? We were trying to do a DP with Doc, okay, who wanted to do the DP. It was his, Doc is like one of the if you're coming in this episode, he's a puppy that loves the lifestyle, but he's not really well endowed. And so when you get to do a DP, we were talking about that DPs are, you have to be in the right positions and stuff. And we're concentrating and trying to get it done. It's not like in the movies where they just show it and everything works and everything and everybody comes or whatever. It is a difficult position to do. And it's I can't pay attention on two dicks. So I'm in there trying to get this done. And we are in the room at the house party at my house. It's a smaller room. And there's a little coffee table next to the day bed that we're fucking on. And in comes Elle. And she just goes, is this my sweet tea? And like, we're all trying to concentrate. And we turn and look at her. And Steve's like, what? He's like, what? He goes, do you not see? We're trying to do this very difficult position. And Alan's just like, I'm sorry, but really, I just need to know, is this my sweet tea? Because I'm
that's just thirsty.
And I'm trying to find it. And it's that you get on this one track and you some people in the room will be in the zone trying to get something done. And it's a really sexy moment. And then somebody else walks in and goes, hey, did I leave my black sack over? Yeah.
Has anybody seen my phone? You're like, what the fuck? Well, and the sad thing is sometimes it breaks the concentration of the people that are
it totally you know, did.
Almost okay, there. Almost there.
We were almost there and she walks in at the most inopportune time. And like she should have known because we were not, none of us turned to answer her. And then she just kept on. Like, come on, you guys, let me know. Is this my sweet team? Do you understand the moment?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see.
Okay, we'll do one more.
Let's see. Well, I think we should talk about it, even though I do know what it is, and I'm sure everybody does. Although, lid for pot. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I was going to talk about jack-off-itis.
Jack-off-itis.
Jack-off-itis is real. That's a real thing. And I think more and more guys, especially the younger ones, man, if you grew up access to porn and you've been wanking it since you were a kid,
man. It's only going to respond to your wank. That's I'm so scared of toys for that reason. Because if toys are the only way that I can get off, then yep. When the guy tries to do it, it's oh,
yeah.
not.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, not real. Well,
but there's definitely been some women in that category.
Yes. Yeah. Women can put themselves if it. So I've been known on this podcast to tell people, and I still mean it, women, if you can't make yourself get off, why do you expect him to help you? Okay. So the first rule is learn to make yourself come. Okay. Yeah. Whether it's with your fingers or whether it's with a hose or water or whatever it is, I don't care. That shower head, just put in the right place, it'll make you really happy if you do it right. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Find a way to do it. But the danger of that is that if that's the only way that you come all the time, then you're going to make it very difficult for somebody to do it some way else, some other way.
Yeah.
And the jack-off-itis came up when I was telling the story about when Fabio and I first got back into the lifestyle and we went to the club that was not the most popular club that night. So it had a bunch of single guys that were all issue guys. And the one guy that walks in and watches us having sex. And then Fabio says, go do him. And I go to blow him. And for 15 minutes, I was like, and that's when Barbie appears on my shoulder and says, hey, it's a job. And yeah. Ex-husband appears on there and says, hey, don't, you know, you're a failure. You're a failure. I couldn't get this guy to blow up. And I turned to Fabio and said, he has jack-off-itis.
Yeah.
And Fabio knew exactly what I was saying. Cause I don't care how good you are at blowing. I don't care how you can't, the only way they're going to get off. And you'll see it. If you watch in porns, you'll see it in the porns, these guys that their dick is really hard and they will pull out and then they'll take their hand and jack off to finish it so that they come. That's because that's how they come. And they probably have jack-off-itis.
Yep, that's true.
Now, you know, so I'll tell you, I was on hormones. Some women, as you get older, they're on pellets. And I was on a testosterone cream hormone for a long time. And I was on this because as you get older, your sex drive goes down and also a lot of things go down. And I was on these hormones because I wanted to keep my sex drive up and match my husband's at the time. Now, I've taken myself off those hormones because my husband has prostate issues. And so I mean, they've basically taken his sex drive down. And so I told the doctor, hey, take my sex drive down to, I'm not going to be constantly taking drugs to have this up. Well, one of the consequences of it, what you can tell is when a woman, an older woman, is doing the testosterone cream or the pellets, her clit gets bigger, like dick size bigger, like Marilyn's clit was almost a dick, a little dick.
Yeah. Okay?
It gets bigger. And it's, yeah, you can see it in a woman. So Roger, I'm just telling you, if you go to a party and you take the pants down and you see this woman who's got a little dick, she's going to be easy to get her to come because she's on those testosterone things, and it makes you come a lot faster. Okay. So do her. I'm saying it's worthy, especially because it's an easier target. You can see it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So that my clit size has gone back down. And so like it's now it's normal, but to me it's almost abnormal because it's just shrunken. And so it doesn't mean that I don't want to have sex, but it means it takes me a lot longer to come. So last week we were over at Lola and Kyle's house, and it was a Sunday, and we had both had really stressful weeks. And so we had agreed, let's just have massage and sex night. Okay, for me, the football massage and sex nights is my happy place. Okay, so we get over and watch Red Zone, and then we watch football, and then in between on breaks or whatever, and then sometimes we'll throw in food and have some sustenance and stuff. But they've got a massage table set up. They've got the coconut oil out. We know it. We've got a bunch of toys. Lola had this new toy. I'll have to figure out what the name of it is. She's such the toy queen. She had a new toy that has it was kind of like a rabbit where it's got a dick, but there was a little part of it inside that vibrated. So it wasn't solid. It was like almost a tuning fork type thing. And then on the front part of it, the top part of it where the rabbit would be, there was like this rose thing that attaches to your clit and sucks on it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Very much like,
Right.
So
was talking about that last night.
We were playing with that. It's a new toy. I played with it with Lola. She has had some trauma inside. So the insertion part of it there didn't work with her. So I used that as a handle and turned it over and just was like a saxophone where here, let's put the saxophone over the clit, and she was coming. It was really fun. Okay. We have a lot of fun because we like to play with the toys and stuff. But I use Kyle, her husband. He's my barber, and he's my pussy barber. And he says he wants to be called the pussy barber, but I don't want to. His name is Kyle. Okay. So he shaved me and everything, and we were getting ready to play before that. And then he decided he likes to check his work. And this would bother me because I know that there's hairs, and he gets hairs stuck in his mouth and he thinks it's funny and he pulls them out. He's excited by it. That's a thing for him. Okay. So he's like, I'm checking my work and stuff. So he gets down on his knees and he starts to make, he starts sucking and licking on me. And he's like, I know in my head I go to, this is going to take longer. You don't understand. I'm not on this drug anymore. I get in my space and stuff. And then he starts doing something that knocks me out and knocks me into, oh, wow, this is really good. And then I go back. And then, so in my head, I was going around and I told myself in my head, and it's one of the vocabulary words, I'm just going to go my spank bank. And so I start thinking about the clock episode when I'm in Paris and those guys are all fucking me and all that other stuff. I go to that space and I'm thinking about that. And he's just consistently making me happy and doing it right and not missing anything and going on and on and on. And I come up close and I don't. And so it's taking a lot longer. It's probably taken close to 15 minutes. And all of a sudden he does take me over the precipice and I scream out. Now, I don't know if you know this, Roger. I know that Steve knows this because he's taken me there. I scream out a word when I've really hit it. And the word is schnikes. And so I shouted Schnikes at him. And I was like, oh my God, that was so good. And I did a Schnikes moment. And he looks at me and he goes, what did you say? And he hasn't heard that word because, and I don't know why it was a Schnikes moment other than maybe it's because I was in my head so much and then I wasn't. And then I was back in and I was worried. I've been worried for a while about using these toys and not being able to come the real way. And then he made me come that way. So it was a Schnikes moment. It was great. No jackoffitis, no toys. So sometimes I think I get into my head too much and I am my own worst enemy in enjoying it and in having a good time.
Yeah.
And Roger's like, I don't do any of this. I just want to fuck.
No. I mean, I've commented before that, you know, it just about like it was in the premise of going to a party and getting ready and just all that. If you're just listening to yourself, you'll suffer more in your own head. If you could just turn that off and go to a party and just get naked with no care in the world, you'd see nobody gives a shit.
That's right.
Nobody agrees with the opinion of yourself in your head.
That's right.
Nobody agrees.
That's right. And if they do, okay, they can just move on down the road.
Yep.
So I think we'll have to talk about painting parties next time. The painting party that Barbie and I remember, there's a couple of them. And so we'll definitely have to talk about painting parties. For everybody who's made it through to the end, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for this episode. We're going to conclude. As always, if you want to ask us a question or want to possibly talk on this on new podcast, let us know. Best way is to go to our website where you can also catch all of the other episodes. The website is beyondmonogamypodcast.com. It's all smashed together. And yeah, you got to spell monogamy right. Sorry. Beyondmonogamypodcast.com. And you'll get my email. You'll get Roger's email. And someday we'll put Barbie's tab up there. But any questions come through and requests, tip Mandingo if you can, because he's doing this for free right now. And even though there's Slickums commercials and maybe there'll be Dick Dipper commercials soon, those are just fake and it's just for us to laugh at each other. So he doesn't make any money. And until next time, I hope that you come again and come again and come again.
And keep coming back.
Yes, keep coming back.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. And we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.